Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Rebecca, I gotta be honest. You post your cat on Instagram a little bit too often. You're always on vacation, and everybody knows that you sell lipstick. Oh yeah, Rebecca, you're such an awesome teacher. You tell me about technology and every brand new feature. Without you, I don't know what I'd do about uploading new photos to my story. I can't believe you make me laugh so hard I split my pants. Ooh, you always seem to get me. Never met in person, but I still know you so well. You love your white furniture and groceries at your doorbell. We've got matching spirit animals, but we couldn't be more different if we tried. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, I'll be the tailor. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do. Taylor Swift, Marilyn Manson, you're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. Yeah, it's problem solved. Ooh.
All right, so I'm gonna go live here. Can't remember how to do that.
Welcome, guys. We're having a problem solved. Let me type that in. Problem solved. What are you calling it? Anything goes.
Oh, that's a good one. You're so good at naming things. Hey, guys.
Listen, welcome to Problem Solved. We have a lot of good problems. Really, you guys have a lot of problems.
Yeah, you have a lot.
A lot of problems.
And serious problems.
Serious problems. All right, so who wants to go first? I did not research the history of problems because that doesn't make any sense.
You didn't research history last month either.
I know. It's terrible. I'm slacking. Oh, and I just have to say really fast that this is going to be like a slightly lower quality of recording because of I'm not using my microphone and my headphones. So I have had some people say, what's wrong with the recording? So I would like to say, you get what you pay for. And I didn't receive payment from any of you people for this. So kindly.
Feel free if you want to send payment.
Pay me, and then I'll apologize for the sound quality. But until then, it's just going to be what it is. This is just a fun one. So, all right, problems. First, let's catch up. Tell me about, how are you? Let's catch up, Erica.
Good.
Kind of struggling, you said.
Struggling well, however.
Have you? Really?
No, not really. Yeah, I fessed up on Instagram yesterday, which I think is what you're referring to, that I have had about 6 weeks of, like, I would call it a funk, slightly depression, probably anxiety.
Yeah.
Call it what you want. All I wanted to do was, like, be in my room under my covers and not go anywhere and not see anyone. I was off stories, you know, because that's kind of hard to story when you're feeling like that.
It's so hard. Tell me about, like, because I get that same way. And then sometimes people will be like, where are you? I haven't even seen you. But you don't want to say, hey, like, my life's really not going well, or I don't have the confidence to even turn this thing on right now. But you also want to be in it when you're in it to be real. So how did you decide it was time?
To come back? I was in a little bit. There was one time during that 6 weeks that I got on and I said, my husband kicked me out of the house, like, jokingly, like, for the day to go shopping. I'm just not good to be around right now. But for the most part, I did not get on and say how terrible I was feeling. Until I wasn't feeling terrible anymore. I don't know. There's pros and cons to that. Like, I think I got on that one time and was kind of honest about it, but I don't want to vomit all over the internet either, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't really looking for advice, I guess, also. So I didn't want to get on and be like, I don't want to see anyone. I just want to be in my bed. I didn't want people to tell me what to do. And I have a feeling I would have gotten a lot of that.
Okay.
You know, but my husband knew, my Bible study knew, like, it wasn't like nobody knew.
Yeah.
I just, it didn't feel like it was something I needed to share with the public, with everybody.
Yeah.
But when I got out of it, like, I wanted to share, and I knew I was learning something. Like, there was that, you know, when you're learning, you feel like you're learning something, but you don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just going to get on Insta stories and be like, I'm learning.
I'm learning something, but I'm under the covers while I do it.
Can't tell you what I'm learning, but I'm sure I'm learning something. And I think towards the end of my 6 weeks, I knew what I was doing that was getting me, like, keeping me in the funk. And I almost didn't want to stop. Like, what that thing was just, like, binging on entertainment. I think there was more to it at the beginning that got me in this funk. Just starting homeschooling, like, being home way more than I've ever been before, being around people, like, even little kids. There was, like, a lot of things that were, like, getting me into this funk. But instead of trying to go to the things that I knew would give my heart life and my soul life, like worship music and the Bible and praying, mm-hmm. I turned to entertainment because that felt easy.
Easier.
And so I, like, binge watched shows. I watched Insta stories all the time. Like, I would lay in bed and just watch. I, for the first time, watched every single Insta story that I possibly could on my phone.
Wow.
Everyone that I follow. And I was like, wow, that was weird. There's now nothing to watch on here. And it just got me into a deeper, deeper hole, even though it felt good while I was watching it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we can do that with anything. It doesn't even matter what.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, insert, you know, whatever it is there. If it's not feeding your soul, it's making things worse.
So what got you out of it?
I knew I had to just put on my big girl pants and make a bunch of changes to my life, or it was just going to continue for another 6 weeks or so. So I got some vitamins.
Okay.
Like, I knew that I was vitamin D deficient. I was feeling just, like, sad. I mean, I knew that from a blood work test, not just because I was feeling sad. But I knew that was one thing that could potentially help. Mm-hmm. I got some B vitamins, like B complex. I'm starting, like, the apple cider vinegar thing in the morning with the mother. Do you know about the mother?
I know about the mother.
She's very important.
Yes.
Apparently. Yeah, I don't know. So I tried that. And then instead of starting the next Netflix series, I started listening to the Chosen Women's Conference speakers that just went on this past weekend.
Yes.
It was entertainment in a way, but it was life-giving entertainment.
Yeah.
And listening to worship music in the car instead of the next, like, Audible book of, like, whatever fiction book that I want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think entertainment's bad. I'm sure you feel the same way too. But when my heart and my soul were thirsty, that's not what it needed. I almost, once my soul is filled up, then I can watch a show. You know, like, I'm not saying, like, no entertainment, no Netflix. But anyways, I don't know if I make any sense. Sorry. Sorry, that was rude.
That's so
and disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better and at least making steps in the right direction.
Thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm not good in other ways. I'm not good. I'm just too busy. I said yes to lots of things that are fantastic. And I'm in a season where lots of fun opportunities are coming my way. And it's just more than one person can handle. But I unfortunately think I can handle anything. And so I tried it and it didn't go super well for my family. And so I've just quit a lot of things and postponed a lot of things. And I think I told you I stopped all my interviews for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Because let me just tell everyone though, because you have interviews taped for what, up to March now probably?
Yes.
So it's not like she's slacking and just like, you know.
No, there definitely will be interviews. Yes. They just.
You have buffers.
I do. And so, yeah, I don't know. Just too busy to clean out my closets and too busy to clean my sinks and all the stuff that, because if I have too much margin, I just start feeling really bored. But very honestly, I don't ever give myself enough time to have too much or even enough margin. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm afraid of margin. And so I fill it up too fast. And so just realizing like it's a lack of trust that God still cares about me when I'm not accomplishing. And it's a lack of, it's an identity problem. We have been praying a lot through adopting more kids. It's come up and then we've said no, and then it's come up again and we've said no. And so we're just finally saying like our final no about that. And the hard thing is my husband would love more kids. My kids would obviously love more kids, but I'm the one who has to deal with the more kids. And I feel like I should be the person who can handle 7,000 kids. I just, I'm not. And so it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't feel like it's enough. And so having to go, okay, I'm going to say no to this. My husband is like fine with that. He just thinks more kids would be great, but he also super loves the life we have. So he's just that kind of person who's so go with the flow that I wonder if he's disappointed with me because I'm not. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, that's good. Those are real feelings. The last thing in the world you should do is adopt a baby because you feel like you should. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, that's totally where I've been. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. I don't like the idea that there's kids who need to be adopted, but knowing that that is not the thing that's going to be good for us.
Yeah. And that's not your problem to solve.
But isn't it? That's what I wrestle with. Like, if we all just adopted.
You did. You adopted two.
I know. I just don't feel like
at some point, everyone has to stop.
That's true. That's a good point. I don't know. So yeah, just that's what's going on inside of my brain. So
yeah.
Anyway, yay, we're crazy.
Shall we move on to some more lighthearted problems?
Yeah, I like other people's problems more than mine. Okay, so you go first.
Okay, I'm just going to go down my list. A big theme so far with a couple people, three people have Halloween questions.
Oh,
so
okay.
I might just list a bunch of those questions and then we can talk about whatever one sounds fun to us.
I love it.
Okay, so what the hey do you do with all the leftover Halloween candy? Also, last minute Halloween costume ideas. How not to eat all your kids' candy, the annoying problem where your kids are constantly switching the costume that they want to be, and maybe more a serious one, the, she put in quotes, super Christians who tell me that it's the devil's holiday.
Oh man, so many good things there. So how many. Do we not think about Halloween as a topic?
Seriously. Okay, but did we do that last year?
I think we started with Thanksgiving.
Was it Thanksgiving? That's right. Thanksgiving. We had one random no topic thing.
Yeah.
Didn't we? And then is this our 1 year anniversary?
Oh my gosh, Rebecca. Can you believe it?
I should have sent you another Aldi keychain or something.
Or like a Better Life bag. What the heck? Aim higher. All leather. Thanks. Putting in my order now. Okay, so my first thought about the Halloween candy, something that my dentist does, maybe everybody does this, but you can take your Halloween candy in and they'll give you a toy.
Like one of those cheap dentist toys or a really cool toy?
A cheap dentist toy?
That seems so lame.
Well, my kids were down with it as long as they could get out some of the candies that they wanted to keep and then take all the rest.
Okay.
Which I'm fine with from the sense of like cleaning it out and not having a bunch of extra junk around.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We've done this in previous years. I think we'll probably do it again. We let our kids eat as much candy as they want on Halloween, and then it's gone. And maybe we actually take it to the day after. I'm not sure. They can eat as much as they want that whole day, but then it's in the trash the next. So
okay. And do they give you a bunch of pushback on that?
Mm-mm. They think it's great that we're not saying only one piece. Okay. You know, we're just like, go for it. They have not yet eaten themselves to the point of sickness, I shall say. You know?
Well,
like,
and honestly, if they throw up, well, then it's out of their system. So
then it's out. Yeah. It's win-win.
It is. Three Arrows says, a friend of mine uses leftover candy for a treat at the end of the week if they've had a good week at school.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's good. I mean, I keep the candy up too high for them to reach it, and they have to, like, or they can get one piece of candy in their lunchbox. I'm not the mom who sends a school note to lunch. I don't have time for that. One time I did, and I was so put out that I had to write them, I love you, love mom. I mean, I don't know why that's such, like, a barrier for me, but I just woke up, and I don't want to write you a nice note. I'm looking at you right now. Can I just tell you? Can't that count? So I put a piece of Halloween candy in.
That's good.
In place of relational.
In place of relationship.
Yeah. Teaching them to substitute food for relationship.
Some emotional eating.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So good.
Last minute Halloween costume ideas.
I know on The Office, Jim was a three-hole punch once, just with three large circles down the left side of his body.
That's awesome.
That's the first one I could think of.
Salt and pepper shakers are, like, easy, you know, just all black with a S, like white S. No.
Well,
nope. All that'd black would be the P.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. It's confusing.
Yeah. Do your kids change their mind about what they want to be?
So today actually is the day that we're getting our actual outfits because we just wait a long time because they do change it every couple minutes. But we're so into Harry Potter right now that we're Hermione and Harry all the way. I don't think anything would change that. What about you?
I'm an early shopper. So because in the past I've been late and then we spend thousands of dollars on shipping to get our costume in time.
That's
so
a lot of money.
I make them, it is. I make them decide at the beginning of October what they want to be. My problem with Halloween costumes is I want them to be cute things like an owl, and they want to be like Paw Patrol and Daniel Tiger. And you're like, no. That's why I loved those first two or three years where you could decide what they were going to be.
You got to really relish those years of control. My daughter was a spider from Pottery Barn Kids that I got from like a used store. So she had eight arms and six legs moved with her hands when her hands moved. It was adorable.
Yes.
And my son was a little fish, and when he walked his little tail wiggle back and forth, like his little fin. Yeah, those are the good old years.
Those are the good years. Corbin was a lion, and I got this huge fluffy mane. Like, oh, it's just, I just could squeeze him. Even now, just thinking about it. So cute. And a bumblebee one year. He was like fuzzy bumblebee with a stinger.
It's perfect. I saw this morning on Instagram a girl cut arms and legs out of a pumpkin, just holes, and put her baby in it. It was so cute.
Is that really the first time you've ever seen that, Emily?
Perhaps. Because I really thought, I wish that I could have done that with my kids, but I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah, I've seen that like every year for about 8 years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks a million.
You know, though, why don't you go find like the world's largest pumpkin and see if after Halloween, when they're done with their shows, you could carve it out and stick your kids in it.
My kids are big. Okay, so tell me, I want to talk about the Devil's Holiday one.
Yeah, let's do. Let's go there.
What is your thought? Do you have people tell you that?
You know, I don't know. There's the all the alternative Halloween parties, which what's alternative about them? Those are the things my kids do anyways. Like we just go trick or treating. We don't go to like devil raves and like.
I know. It's been a long time since I took my kids to a devil rave.
It's been a while. I mean,
no,
I
you're right. Like it doesn't make it okay just because it's at a church if it's the same exact thing.
I agree. I mean, I know. I'm sure there are things that go on more around Halloween that are of satanic things. I don't even know the word. Do you know what I mean though? Like theaters put on like productions of things that are probably not great for you to watch, but you don't have to do that. Like you don't have to do that stuff. There's satanic things that go on all year long.
Yeah.
There's no harm in your kid dressing up and going getting candy from neighbors. It's just fun.
My thing at this point is that I don't want you to be anything disgusting.
Right. Or scary. I don't want scary either.
Yeah. So we don't need to do all that, but be something fun. Be whatever you want.
My kids love dressing up. It's like one of their favorite everyday activities. So to them, that the whole world does this, it's like the best day ever for them.
I agree. No, I don't have a problem with it. What else? Anything else Halloween related?
I think Halloween is solved.
Good.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Do you dress up?
No, we used to. My husband, when we first got married and started having kids, apparently Halloween is his favorite holiday. I think that's changed. Yeah. Or he was making it up in line. I'm not sure which one. But he used to make us dress up as like family themed.
Yeah.
So the very first year we had a kid, we were kangaroos. And Jonah was like in my little Ergo, like, baby carrier as a little kangaroo.
That's so cute.
Because he was only a few weeks old. So we've done different things like that. But as we got more and more kids, it just got more and more complicated. And I never really enjoyed dressing up. I don't like any extra attention on me. So like costumes are real fun. So
I think this year we're all, the neighbor girls are going to dress up in like, be like 1980s something.
Oh, somebody you and has your neighbor friends.
Yeah, because we all go together every year, and we start off, we have this whole route that we do. There's this whole thing that happens. And then at the end, we end up at the one neighbor's who lives on, like, the main street, and then we pass out candy to everybody. Since our kids are littler, we start a little earlier.
Actually, in our neighborhood, we don't even pass out candy. We live in such a weird, like, culturally diverse neighborhood. People don't even know what Halloween is, and they don't trick-or-treat around here.
Oh, okay.
So the streets are dark. We go elsewhere to trick-or-treat. Nobody rings our doorbell if we were here anyways. It's really interesting.
It is. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Loving Sweet Lulu said, how the heck do you keep your car clean? And then she has another question, finding friends who really want to know you and not just sell you something. She must have friends who
sell lip scents.
Who sell lip scents, Rebecca?
Gosh, that car thing is like the bane of my existence.
What do you do?
I clean it out before I go see my parents because they're the ones that are going to make some comment.
Okay, how often does that happen?
Weekly. So my kids are so messy. Like, they just throw their trash on the ground. So right now we're working on, when we leave the car, give me everything. Like, look on the ground, give me everything you see. And I like take it to the, our garbage can is right by our garage. So I like dump all the garbage that time, like that trip. And then I take it to get vacuumed, or I take it to one of those places where you drop in the quarters and you vacuum it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then do the self car wash whenever I can't stand it anymore. Isn't it, clean car just feels so good.
It feels like really
good.
Life
is put together.
Yes. Like, you're really killing it. I will tell my kids, get everything out of the car that you want to keep. Mm. And then if they don't get it out, I throw it away. I don't care. I have no heart. But it seems like it's heavier to take out of the car than it was to bring in, because it just seems physically painful for them to carry things back in. Also, every time I get gas, everybody takes all the trash out. So I connect getting gas. So that's how it kind of, on a regular basis, gets cleaned for us.
That's smart, because you have nothing else to do while your gas tank is filling up anyway. So
then you've got a clean car and a full tank of gas.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, life is good.
Yeah.
Have you seen those scary videos going around on Facebook of people who are filling up their gas tank and someone like will get in the passenger side and either steal their purse or drive off with their car?
No.
So when you're filling up your gas, first of all, your car shouldn't be running. So I don't know how they drove off with your car, although I know some people who do fill up their cars while it's running.
I always turn my car off. Oh my gosh, I thought I'd blow up.
I know, me too. But lock your car too, because if your passenger door is unlocked and your purse is sitting there, which I've done a million times, people are now targeting gas stations and stealing purses from unlocked doors while you're busy filling up gas.
My goodness.
Terrible world we live in.
It is.
How in the world does the drawer that I put clean utensils in get so dirty with crumbs?
Where's the toaster? Because my utensils are right by the toaster.
So is mine. You're right. Gosh, you're smart.
I know.
This job is made for you.
Yep.
But isn't that, like, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at all my drawers around the toaster. I feel like they congregate to the clean utensil drawer.
Listen, because I agree, because I think the things I find in the clean utensil drawer are not just toaster crumbs. It's true. Other things.
Yes.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
But I'm really glad that this woman came out and said this, because I thought I was the only disgusting one that this happened to.
You're not.
That is amazing.
You're just not. I think it's our kids' little nasty hands.
That's true. Maybe it is our kids' nastiness.
But I think also I want them to get their own stuff, so I guess I'm really willing to deal with.
Do you clean out your utensil drawer with the crumbs? Me either. My crumbs are still hanging out, hanging out right next to the clean forks.
It's good. Okay, so I want to take a second, and we need to just pause it all and talk about the sponsor of this week's episode. So Casey, her company was called Persimmon Prints, but it's changed now. Did you know that, Rebecca Smith?
I just found that out today. Okay, Clothed in Victory.
Yeah, Clothed in Victory. So it's ethical clothing. It affirms women's worth and proclaims God's victory through messages within each garment. So there's a meaning behind it.
I love it.
And what I also love is when you sign up for her weekly emails, they're called Closet Chats, and you get this awesome little wallet card so you can reference when you go shopping, like what styles do you like, so you can focus on things you're actually going to wear when you are done shopping. Because I don't know about you, but I have grand plans. I think I'm going to wear lots more ruffly, frilly things than I actually
do. I've never seen you wear that.
But I buy it, but I don't wear it.
So you need her guide. It seems like she helps you through like 5 steps to finding your style. And then you put the answers on this wallet card and you carry it around.
Love it.
And seems genius. I know her t-shirts are super cute. I love this. It has like a wider scoop neck, which I just think is really, they're not like basic, you know, V-neck t-shirts. They're stylish.
Yeah. And we're going to get some for next month.
Woohoo!
We will wear them and show them off. So if you are interested in knowing more about Clothed in Victory, go to clothedinvictory.com and sign up for that My Personal Style wallet card, because it'll help you out too.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Hey, Julie is reminding us that we forgot the question about finding friends that don't want to sell you something.
Finding friends that don't want to sell you something.
I have reached out to some friends, like I have one in particular who's probably going to be listening to this. So, going to be awkward, but I do want more oils. Like I like oils, but I don't want to be an oily person. I just want my house to smell good. And I want the basic ones like thieves for when my kids are sick, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into it. And I don't want to go to your Facebook parties and your like classes. I don't want to start an oily journey. Like I just want like 2 bottles and be
right.
Like, maybe I'll come back again in another 6 months and get another bottle.
Well, but, I think you've got to just be upfront. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I think from their perspective, it doesn't hurt for them to ask. Like, I don't think we need to view their ask as like a demand on the friendship.
Right.
And I've had conversations with people and just say like, hey, I want to be your friend because I want to be your friend. I'm not quite sure if you want to be my friend because of me or because I could be a customer. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of get that out there again. Mm-hmm. Just being direct and being like, hey, I think you're great. Do you think I'm great, or do you think my buying potential is great?
And would you find that someone would be honest with you,
you
and
know
say
what?
Like, I'm just your friend because you might be my customer?
Listen,
like
they probably wouldn't be, but they would know that you kind of have a hard no on the product, but you would
That's
totally
true.
Like to be friends with him. So that conversation kind of says more about where you stand and less about where they stand.
Yeah, that's really true. Doesn't matter what their response is. They know where you are now.
All right. When your kids are too old to need a nap.
Oh, sad day.
Miss Hochstedler asked that.
Oh, Miss Hochstedler, I'm so sorry.
Well, listen, my kids don't need a nap, but they still go to their rooms every day for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yes, we've talked about this, your quiet time. That's good.
Yeah.
Room time. We should also remind people that you homeschool. So it's not like your kids get home from school and then you send them to their room for an hour and a half.
Well, listen,
right?
Well, listen. When they come, I do start a lot of things with, well, listen. I do. I'm realizing that. Well, listen. I just have to. They when they come home from school, they do have that time a lot of times because they're really tired from school.
Yeah.
And so I do give them, it's not always that long, maybe it's like 45 minutes, but they just go and just play with their pirate ships or read Harry Potter. They do whatever they want. I don't even care.
Yeah.
Then they can come out and be nicer people.
And it's probably because you've gotten them used to that from having room time. You know, like that now is something they probably look forward to and enjoy.
They really do.
I would enjoy that. Can someone give me an hour and a half of room time every
day?
You
can give it to yourself by making them do it. That's See, how I go in and take a nap.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. And I think the earlier you can start that, the better. So the minute they stop taking a nap, sleeping, just it's still rest time. It's still room time. They can stay in there and read books, or they'll probably, if it were my kids, if I were to start this, it would probably be a really tough transition at the beginning.
But
I
don't know if I have to put up a baby gate.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Start a little bit and then build up.
And put something fun at the end. Like, so always like, okay, we'll go have ice cream if you can stay in your rooms for 20 minutes today. And not that every day, or at the end of the week, if you stay in for 20 minutes every time, we'll go get ice cream on Friday. Or if there's something they do want to do, just say, like, we're not doing that. If you don't give me this time to myself, I'm not giving you X, Y, and Z. It's going to make them mad for a while, and I don't really care if they're mad. We need to rest.
Yeah, that's good.
And go also, I put on, like, a sound machine for myself. If I want to sleep, and like eye patches and a sound machine, and then I sleep as long as I want. And they know that when they're done, they know when it's time to get out. They will get out on their own, but they leave me the heck alone because they know, don't mess with mom. Don't wake up mom when she's sleeping. It's not a good idea. So they just go do whatever they want. And they're really glad that I'm asleep because they can do whatever they want.
So I have a feeling you maybe didn't struggle with this, but how do you get your kids to sleep in their own bed? I know what you're going to say. Can I just say what you're going to say?
Yeah, yes. Tell me.
I just told them to sleep in their bed and I didn't let them sleep anywhere else. Period. Okay. Oh, wait. I forgot. Well, listen. I just... Is that what you would have said?
This is what I would say. If there is a problem, you're having a bad dream, there is a storm or something, you can come into our room, you will sleep on the floor. If we hear you, you are going back, period.
Yeah.
So they've never slept in our bed. And in fact, at this point, it would weird all of us out if we were in the same bed together. I tried it one time with my daughter when she moved in when she was two, because my husband was out of town. I'm like, hey, come sleep in my bed. And then it was like 4 minutes and we were both like, nope. See you in the morning.
Okay, well, I...
Okay, hang on one second. Tiffany Honeycutt says her problem is she has 4-year-old twin boys, and they share a room so they won't stay quiet in their room, and they end up playing and talking. I say, Tiffany Honeycutt, whatever they do in there is fine, as long as they're in there. Because you can make it to where you can't hear them, and if they're in there, then you can't see them. They can't be asking you questions. You're having a break. It sounds like my son's doing construction projects. Sounds like he's rebuilding his room. I don't know what he's doing in there or how it's making so much noise, but he is a noisy little sleeper, quote unquote. So I'm fine with that. Whatever. So what were you saying?
Well, I was just going to go back to the sleeping in their own beds thing.
Okay.
Which is, I just love that we do this together because we're so different and it reaches so many like different types of people. You know?
The masses.
Someone gave me the advice when our kids were little that wherever your family is going to get the best sleep is where everybody should sleep.
You mean wherever everyone or just the kids? Because I think so many times we're only thinking about the kids.
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone. Right. So for us, when our kids wake up in the middle of the night, they constantly come to our bed. If I get up and walk them back up, or even like wake up enough to tell them you need to go back to your bed, which our kids, we live on separate floors. We sleep on separate floors. And they're pretty young still. They don't like to be alone. So I would typically have to walk them back up to their bed. That movement would wake me up enough that I would not fall back asleep for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like I have a hard time falling back to sleep when I've been woken up. So they can now just get in bed with us and I don't wake up much. Like they go right back to sleep. It's better. Yeah. Now, the problem is when two or three get in bed with us, because we have a queen size bed.
Okay. Yeah.
At that point, I will usually just go upstairs and sleep in my daughter's bed or whatever bed is like empty at the time. So we play a lot of musical beds in our family at night. Okay. And I do think I could be getting better rest. And I think I will someday. But I also think I could be getting way worse rest if I was like forcing them at this point, now that we've developed this pattern, to go back to their beds.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's a really good point. But because I can't handle people in my bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And neither can my husband.
You would not be getting good sleep then.
No, because I know my kid, my son talks and my daughter kicks and we're just not doing that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point. And you have to be free with what works good for everybody in your family. The problem, I think, is when the moms only care about how the kids and the husband are doing and they don't ever get good sleep. That's a problem.
Yeah, so. That's not good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone on here mentioned melatonin. We just this thought on that. This is not me telling you what to do, but we gave our son, actually all of our kids, melatonin to help them fall asleep because our kids also do not fall asleep very easily. Okay. Especially my daughter, it'll take her two years.
Wow. And that's a long time.
2 hours in bed.
You may want to do a sleep study.
But when we gave them melatonin, it was like 20 minutes. And I was like, this is amazing.
I heard also melatonin gummies for mamas. Someone just said to get back to sleep at night. Have you tried that?
Yes, I use them. But we do have the gummies. I take them to get back to sleep at night. But we started seeing actually a really terrible reaction in my son. So not all my kids, but my 7-year-old started becoming super depressed. What? Saying like really scary things for quite a few weeks in a row. Like after, we associated it to melatonin. My husband like researched some side effects of it, and depression can be one side effect. Really? So we stopped the melatonin and like have suffered through like bedtime routines since then.
Did you stop it with all three? Or just
we stopped with all three. Okay. Yeah, even though we were just seeing the side effects in Jonah, it was scary enough. We were like, we got to do something. Like we've seen that go away. Like 90% better.
Wow, like, that's really
crazy. So it's just interesting. Like if you're using melatonin, which I don't think every kid would have that reaction, but maybe not every night. We were using it every single night, and I think it was just too much for his little system.
Interesting.
I don't know. Just our story. You know, like I really don't want to scare anyone into that, but it was a scary time for us. So, and I was so relieved when we stopped. It was sort of an experiment. Like, let's stop this and see what happens. And he hasn't said those things or gotten into like this depression like he had.
That's really good. I'm glad you noticed the connection there.
Yeah. Someone's saying lavender on the feet and diffusing, which is why I contacted my friend about buying some like a lavender bottle.
Okay.
And now I'm afraid I'm being invited to all of the classes.
She's just wondering. And you just say no.
I know, and I'm going to. I'm gonna talk to her right after we get off this in case she's watching or listening.
There you go. What's another problem?
Okay, how about since we're getting into that season, although you don't experience this, winter activities with kids.
What do you mean I don't experience it? Oh, because of no snow.
It's Texas, Emily. You can be outside all the time.
It gets cold here.
Yeah, I saw you on Instagram giving your blankets to your friends. What was it, 75?
I'm a servant. It was like 65. Stop it.
Wow.
I know it. Mm-hmm. So winter activities, what do you do?
We have a membership to the YMCA, so we'll go to the pool, like the indoor pool.
Oh, okay.
There's some fun like little indoor playgrounds. Do you guys even have indoor playgrounds?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
We're not a third world country. Me and everyone else who lives here would like to invite you not to mess with us.
Okay.
We even have it on bumper stickers.
You can send me that t-shirt for our 1-year anniversary. Don't mess with Texas.
Did I send you that?
I said you can.
Oh, I'm like, I didn't even know I ever bought one of those. Not only did I buy it, I mailed it to you.
Some winter activities I did last year. We brought in the swing from outside and we hooked it up to my husband's like pull-up bar that goes between the doors.
Yeah.
So my kids like could swing, and my daughter uses the pull-up bar like a gymnastic, like she just jumps and swings from it. We got a little indoor trampoline, like a tiny little one. Heard of the jumperoo?
For little babies?
No. although that was a good guess because it does sound like that.
You're so nice. You're trying to be nice about it. Oh, that's a good guess, you weirdo.
It's like this huge black inner tube that then has like jungle gym thing, like pipes going around it. You got to look it up.
I'm looking it up now.
I want to get it for my kids for their Christmas present this year, for the big one for the three of them, because it looks like this. It's indoor. You can take it outside too, but it can be used inside. Climbing, jumping, like you can get these different attachments for it so they can swing and spin in the middle.
Wow.
It's fairly expensive, but I do have some coupon codes if you want to give them to your readers. They can contact me.
Contact Rebecca, you guys.
Because I don't think you do show notes for this, do you?
I don't know, maybe. So pretty willy-nilly on this
one. Don't have to. They can contact me. I've got a $50 off coupon for the Jumperoo, but...
She will ask you, though, if you want to start a lipstick journey. So just be prepared with your hard no, if in fact you don't. But it's a really great product.
Just practice on me.
Oh, man. Okay, so I've got a question. Someone who I'm deciding to make anonymous, just so it doesn't get awkward. Their mother-in-law is mad that the mother-in-law can't watch their son.
So, okay, they're mad that the mother-in-law can't watch their son?
No, the mother-in-law is mad that the mother-in-law is not allowed to watch this child.
Oh, okay, she wants to watch her grandchild.
Yes.
Okay, why isn't she? I need more info.
I know. I think you just have to tell them why that's not going to happen or what scenario would make it to where it could happen. Mm-hmm. What you are willing to do. And some of that is going, I'm not willing to do any of it. Well, why is that? Because some of that may be a fear reaction on your part, mm-hmm, where right. What would be reasonable would be for you to loosen up a little bit. Not necessarily. If it's a safety issue or there's like
right.
some kind of a mental health or like a history of something that's not good, you've got to think of the son and not worry right. about if they're upset.
Exactly.
But it also sounded like it was a through the grapevine, I heard that they're mad. So some of that's like going to them directly will solve it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Could she come over and watch her or him at your house while you rest or clean
like, or there.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, like while you're still there, but she feels like she has authority or like, I don't know, that special one-on-one time.
It's tricky because if they're unhealthy in their expectations of what, there's some weird stuff that can happen. And so if you're sensing in your gut, like some weirdness, you've got to shut that down
mm-hmm.
and not worry about if they're going to be mad. But if you're reacting out of a fear place, you need to address that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
I know. That's a tricky one because it's a mother-in-law. So it's not just like a friend that you don't,
yeah.
you know.
And some of that may be like the husband needs to say some things to his mom, which is also, that can be really hard. Or if you don't have that great of a relationship, or if you do, maybe you just, you know, go to coffee and say some things. It's tricky because yeah. I think we can always see it from our perspective, but we can't always see where we could, where we're being a little rigid.
Yeah. It's hard to really answer that without more info.
Yeah.
But speaking of in-laws though, what do you buy your in-laws for Christmas?
What I love is that my family doesn't do that. My in-laws, nobody gets anybody gifts.
They don't even get your kids gifts?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the kids get gifts, but the
parents... Okay, but not the adults.
Yes. So there's no pressure.
So but your kids don't give them gifts?
No, uh-uh.
We do like one gift from our family to my parents.
Okay.
So it's not like I give my parents something and Neil gives my parents something and the kids give them something. Like so in the past, most of the time it's something family oriented. Like I've blown up a family photo and put it in a nice frame. Or last year I collected rocks from Ireland, like little pebbles when we were there as a family. And I put together like, I made them into little birds on a, like a branch. It's not making any sense, but
that sounds really fun, but I didn't.
Most of it's just sentimental family. They love it. My mom loves anything that has to do with like our family or the kids hand make something and put their handprint on a bowl and their Christmas is made, you know? Yeah.
So good. One time we made Christmas ornaments for my mom and we were flying to Arizona to give them to her. And they were the kind that you like bake in the oven and I left them in the oven. So didn't take them. Oh, well.
So they were overdone.
Overdone. That's all right.
Were you baking them like right as you were leaving to go on the airplane?
Listen, sometimes things happen a little last minute around here. Okay. I told you I have a hard time keeping margin.
Did you turn off your oven? I need more.
The oven was off, but I can tell you that not this last time, but the time before, I literally thought, I really want to go to Arizona today. And I bought the ticket and it was leaving in like an hour and a half and we do not live close to the airport. So I told my daughter, put all your dirty clothes in a suitcase because I felt like those are the clothes we wear.
That's true.
So then I got all my dirty clothes. I got all my son's dirty clothes and my daughter's dirty clothes. So my husband was out of town and I was sick of being home by myself with the kids. And so, and it was my mom's birthday. And so I wanted to surprise her. And it was the last flight out that day. And so I went and I picked my son up. He was having a nap in his preschool. I picked him up from his little nap mat and ran away to the airport. And, yeah, we made
it. That's so romantic.
Yeah, it was so romantic. It was funny because it was pajama day at his school, so he was in pajamas, and we just went. So.
That's awesome. I love that story. Yeah. Kind of makes me a little cringe inside, too. But, and I'm very surprised it's you. You like to plan ahead.
I do. It was just the one. It was, and my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, who's very, like, he's in the military, and he said, what did your sister do? How does she make her decisions? Do you just spin a wheel? Like, what? What is your sister about? But I really don't jump on planes and go all places. Just the ones. And it was just time to go to Arizona, apparently.
Just time.
So what else? You have anything else?
Let me look. I have a couple. They're kind of, I mean, edit those out, but they're kind of weird. No, I'm just kidding, because people are watching. You don't have to edit that out, because I know you won't anyways. You always leave all the terrible things I say in.
That's my favorite.
Okay, this one's a fun one. So I have like three left, but if we could only get to one, I love this one.
Okay.
What shirt should I wear with sweaters, specifically cardigans? What shoes do I wear with dresses? And how do I feel about the short boots with dresses? You know that look? Like the booties with a dress?
I have a problem with the word booty. I'm just going to say that.
Well, she did actually say short boots. So we can go with that if that makes you feel more comfortable.
Thank you.
Short boots.
I would like to be someone who wears dresses, but I'm not. So I cannot answer that.
Do you like the look of it, though? Like when you see someone wearing short boots with dresses?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't feel that many feelings about looks.
Okay. You're holier than that. You look on what's on the inside.
I look at the heart. Gosh. Oh, man. I mean, I think they're fine. They're cute. I like the big... I like the taller boots, but the flat ones that look more like, but I don't like Uggs, but I like Bourne boots that look like really simple, but no heel at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So I will say the first time I ever saw someone wearing short boots with a dress, I thought it looked like a witch. I was like, oh, that looks like what a witch might, like a modern, young, in style witch, you know?
Yes. All the references we have for that.
Yes. But it's grown on me. And mm-hmm. I really like it. Although I also don't wear dresses. So I personally wouldn't wear it. I'll wear dresses with leggings and then short boots. But I'm not sure that's quite the same look.
Okay, so they're doing like short dresses with short boots and nothing in between?
Correct.
For winter? Because that doesn't make sense.
You live in Texas, Emily. You can do that.
I'm from Arizona. Texas is cold. So, listen, I've got a problem with shorts and short dresses with long sleeves. But people do it, and I don't understand why. Or, like, long-sleeved dresses that are short. Which is it? Are you cold or are you hot?
That's a good point.
So, yeah. I can't even buy those. And when I see them in the stores, I think, how did this pass quality control? Gosh.
I have a couple of those hanging in my closet. Now, the long sleeve shirts, short dresses, I always wear leggings under my dresses.
Where do you get your leggings?
What?
Where do you get your leggings?
Target.
Okay, mostly. Maybe I don't know where to find them because I never know where to buy leggings at.
They're all over the place.
You make me feel so good about myself.
It is a quest to find good leggings that are thick, that don't, you know.
Apparently they're all over the place.
They're not tights.
What's the difference between leggings and tights?
Well, tights go over your feet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know? I have a lot to learn. That's why I don't have feelings about the looks, because I'm, like, not there.
Yet. Yeah.
Oh, TJ Maxx or Marshalls? Oh, Maurice's leggings are good, Mama Wilson said.
Ah.
The undies section at Target.
Oh, no. A mommy's place just said, you all are about to be bombarded with legging sellers.
We just want to be friends with you, leggings people.
We might want just one pair of your leggings. Oh, well, let's touch on shirts with cardigans real quick, because I feel strongly about this.
So I just wear a t-shirt and a cardigan. Whatever ends up on me is what's happening.
Yeah.
Tell me your opinion.
I like the t-shirt with cardigans. I think any of those shirts from, I forgot our sponsor's name. Clothed in Victory.
She just changed the name.
Persimmon Prince. That would have rolled off the tongue. So it's going to take a little bit. Yes, I think anything from her shop, and that I did not, someone really did send in this question. I'm not just saying that because she's our sponsor. I love like graphic tees under a cardigan, or I like flowy, lacy tank tops that I wouldn't wear without a cardigan.
I love a tank top. I only wear them with a cardigan.
Mm-hmm. Same here. But I think I like something really loose fitting and flowy with a cardigan. I love with leggings. You need to get yourself some leggings. Do you just wear jeans?
I just wear jeans.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else that you feel like you need to say?
No. I feel bad not getting to everyone's, but this can't be forever long. So, and the last two, I don't get them. One person wants to know how I need to eat all the food in my fridge before it goes bad. This includes fruits, veggies, and leftovers.
How can I get over this?
You do that?
Well, just like the feeling, because you don't want to waste food. I totally get that.
Oh, man. If something like might be spoiled, I can't even try.
Oh, I don't think they're saying that they need to eat the spoiled food, but they have a feel like a compulsion to make sure that nothing has to get thrown away.
I have a picture in my mind of her sitting in front of her fridge, just like eating everything.
I don't think that's what she's saying.
Okay, I see that.
So just like, for example, my kids are always trying to eat stuff that's in the freezer or stuff that's in the pantry. When we have stuff in the fridge, it's going to go bad. So I tell them, let's get to that, but first we have to finish this.
Okay, that's smart, because my stuff is constantly going bad. I just thought that was like the way the game is played.
It's not.
Okay. Another thing I thought of, because I tried to think of an answer, was to make a stew with everything.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that, but just put everything in a pot and throw some chicken broth in there. You probably get something that resembles a stew.
Yeah. I mean, like for me, it's like I have right now cucumbers and grapes in my refrigerator. And when the kids get home from school, they're going to want the cucumbers, but the grapes need to be eaten first. So we're going to have grapes, mostly grapes.
So you prioritize the food in your fridge, just like you do with things in life.
Yep.
It's really smart.
I love it. Because the kids are always saying, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? And I always say, when we get home, I'm going to look in the refrigerator and see what needs to be eaten. Every day, it's a whole new question, and it's the same answer every time.
So it's less about what they want and more about what needs to be done.
It is never about what they want.
Listen.
I can't believe you're just now picking this up about my parenting style. Just kidding. I act like they have a good life. I give them what they want.
I know. I see them on Instagram.
Living it up.
Living it up from their backyard oasis.
So funny. All right.
Well, that was good. That was so funny. That ended up being good. Until next time. Oh, do we want to go ahead and say what our next time is going to be?
Yeah. What was your idea? It was a good one.
We've never done this before, but I like it when people say next week on... next month on Problem Solved, we're going to be talking about all of our favorite things.
Yes. Is it so people can buy them for like December?
So people can buy my lipstick. No, just kidding.
Your only favorite thing is lip scents. That's going to be fishy, Rebecca.
I won't even talk about my lipstick, okay? I won't even mention the word lipstick in November, but... I just thought it'd be fun for us to like come prepared with and just share our favorite things.
Are we going to do like our top 10?
Sure. That's a good idea. And it can be any category.
Any category, top 10 favorite things. I will have show notes for that.
Oh yeah. That's good.
I'm thinking ahead. All right. Well, tune in next time for our top 10 favorite things, which will be then 20 favorite things. I'm good at
total. Math. 10 plus 10. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good.
10 plus 10. 20. Be the Taylor Swift.
Solved. Ooh.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.